You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everybody to another episode of Lean Local, the show where we do what we say. We really lean into the local community here in Greater Green Bay. And again, as I always say, that we're not concerned with what's going on everywhere else in the state and the U.S. and the world. But this show, we set aside an hour to talk about what's going on in the greater Green Bay area. And we've had some great guests on here. We've talked about a number of things. We have elections coming up, and we talked about that. We had Mark Murphy on here talking about how great our Packers are going to, are doing. We've talked about a number of things, but I'm excited about today's show. Today's show, we are going to talk to two executive directors. And when you look at Greater Green Bay, and then you focus in on Green Bay, and then you focus in on the downtown, there really is only one downtown in Greater Green Bay. Historical, it's authentic, it's growing, a lot of investment. And we have two people that will be guests. Our first guest is, who you all know, Jeff Merkus, who has been running the Downtown Green Bay Association,
Downtown Green Bay Inc.
Okay, I was getting there, Jeff. Let me know what's right in front of me. And how long have you been doing that? Nice to see you, man.
26 years. Good to be with you, Jeff.
Yeah, we worked together for 16 of those 26. So, and there's a lot that has happened. We're going to talk about that. And there's a lot that's going to happen, and I want to talk about that. So that's what we're going to do. But before we do, Jeff, let's just, and you've been on the show before, but I just want to re-inform our listeners. You run a BID district, which is a business improvement district. That's why you're hired. You are the executive director of this business improvement district, which, of course, Green Bay is east side, west side. The river splits, and you are on the east side of the river, encompassing, I mean, is it a square mile or more?
So it encompasses the central business district, which is from the Fox River to Monroe, and from Mason Street to the East River. That's the downtown district. And then also the old Main Street district goes from Monroe down to Baird.
All right. So let's just, I want to get into the specifics of the development project, but just walk me through how a business improvement district is created, and especially specifically how downtown's BID came into existence. Mm-hmm.
In the late 90s, these organizations were mostly formed, and a business improvement district, by state statutes, allows the commercial properties in those defined areas to have a special assessment on their real estate taxes. And it is a small portion of a real estate tax bill for a commercial property. And that funds the activities of an organization such as this. We're a nonprofit led by a board of directors. And our organization focuses on four main things. And that's coordinating special events, doing downtown marketing, downtown beautification initiatives, and business development. That's what the team I lead. We've got a team of 9 people. That is what we are hyper-focused on to contribute to the success of downtown.
So in a BID district, and there's BIDs all over the state of Wisconsin, right?
Correct.
And there's one in De Pere. Does Schwabenden have one?
No.
Okay. But we have 3 in Green Bay. Is that true?
The Military Avenue.
Oh, that's right. Thanks for sending me.
Serves.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
Right. So the property owners, they're kind of like your constituents. If there's a resident next to the property owner, they don't have this special assessment. It's just the businesses.
Residential is exempt from the assessment.
Right.
Correct?
Okay. Yeah. So you've got these businesses that all get this assessment. And I just want to know, I want people to know, is that assessment determined? Like the assessment for us residential people is determined by the mayor and the city council. You know,
right.
They're the ones that say that your tax is going to be this. How do you, is that you?
So there is a appointed bid board of directors. So that is appointed by the municipality. And so our city leadership appoints a bid board, and that entity then oversees the statutory responsibilities of a business improvement district. So the way the, if there was ever a change to the bid assessment, it would need to be approved through the governmental process. I'm pleased to state that in the past 20 years, the bid rates have never changed in the downtown district.
Oh, well, I'm sure they like that too. I wish they could say the same for our property taxes. Now, anyway, moving on. So who governs then the downtown Green Bay? Is it because there's Green Bay's got a pretty healthy economic development department. And then they've got you. Are you in?
At times people think I work for the city of Green Bay.
We're
a nonprofit organization led by a voluntary board of directors with an executive committee. So, that the organization is run like it is a nonprofit, just like the many others in our community. We do work very closely with city government. Our annual plan gets approved by the plan commission. It gets approved by the city council. So in order for us to comply with all the statutory regulations of being a business improvement district, we do have close collaboration with the city of Green Bay.
Okay.
We work closely with the city economic development department, with the mayor's office, with public works and parking. So a lot of those departments at times feel like they're my coworkers. And I'm pleased to say that, we get a lot of good things accomplished annually because we have good relationships.
Yet the businesses down here that pay this special assessment, and there's big businesses and small businesses. I mean, are they on the same page, or tell me? I mean, that's got to be tough, because how many participants are in your bid?
So several hundred.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's several hundred.
You got funeral homes through restaurants.
Right. And a lot of there are also different tiers of assessment in a bid.
Right.
So certain types of properties that maybe don't drive as much benefit don't pay the same rate. So without getting too complex, the highest bid assessment rate is those businesses that are retail, lodging, and hospitality.
Right.
Those businesses that want foot traffic, they want activity, they want vibrancy. Not to say that everyone doesn't, but there are different tiers of assessment.
Okay. All right. So I want to get into the X's and O's. I just got a few more questions on your engagement with the city officials, county officials, the state. Your funding, is it 100% from these businesses, or do you go out and lobby for money from the state or the VCB,
right,
something like that?
Our budget is about $1 million. About one third of that comes from our business improvement district. And
That's a decent sized budget.
We want to accomplish a lot and to accomplish a lot and have a team of 9 employees, it takes a budget. Now, this budget is very small in comparison to many other organizations. I'm not complaining, because I've always been pleased that we make a lot happen with a little. But I remind my board members and the bid board and city leaders that for every $1 of contribution by a business improvement district property owner, the team that I lead, we go out and generate another $2 of revenue in either sponsorships, philanthropic donations, participant fees by those businesses that participate in the Saturday Farmers Market or participate in an event. So for every $1 of bid dollar that's generated, another $2 is generated okay, by other means.
Tell me about those other two thirds. So $300,000 comes from the assessment.
A little more than that, maybe close to 400.
Whatever.
Yeah, three, four.
Yep. It's one third. How about the other two thirds? Tell me where that money comes from, and then we'll get into your projects.
Right. Basically, we have relationships with corporate donors. We have a Heart of the City contribution that many of these are businesses that are downtown that want to do more because they recognize what we do.
Right.
So that is another sizable contribution by corporate donors and sponsors. Those businesses that want to put their name as the title sponsor on the on the holiday parade or on Fridays on the Fox. So we have a number, you know, banks and numerous corporations in our downtown step up and take title sponsorships, which amounts for another significant, is also part of that, you know, remaining 60%.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So, all right, let's move on. I mean, that's kind of the governance and how it works. And I've got a couple other questions, but I'm going to give those to Brian as well, because he's, you know, it's out in the lobby now, coming in next. But let's talk about Downtown Green Bay Incorporated. You've been running that for 26 years. And you can pick a project, but what are you most proud of accomplishing during your time? I mean, it's a long time you've been there. And is there something that stands out, or, you know, 26 years, a lot has changed. Is there something that jumps in? I'm going to ask you the same thing. What do you want to do next? What do you want your next big project to be? But, you know, when you, do you reflect? Do you have something you hang your hat on?
Absolutely. And I don't take, you know, sole credit for any of this, but I've been recruiting businesses to the downtown for 25 years. And when I drive up and down Washington Street, and I was part of the recruitment team that brought St. Brennan's in here, that brought Prevea, that brings small businesses to our downtown. But I look at the big rocks, the big picture items that created a downtown that has more vibrancy than almost ever before. And that was 16 years ago when you were mayor and the City Deck was built. That created the vibrancy, that created a place. And downtowns are about placemaking. The team that I work with are really into that, and we have a lot more up our sleeve for other improvements. But it was the City Deck that motivated a company like Schreiber to build a corporate headquarters here. So I, while I can't take one credit for just one project, we created the environment that businesses wanted to be. So I always saw myself as being a catalyst to try to ignite confidence in the downtown. And we've got some pretty cool things happening right now, especially residential progress.
So that City Deck, and I, Chris, we were hand in hand on that one. But the that was a catalyst, and because I think one of the reasons it was so successful, I think the name was cool. I remember that whole naming thing. We went back and forth. And
I remember sitting in your office talking about that. I remember the day that idea with the porch and many other ideas.
All the porch and Unity Pier. Remember that one? And that one got approved, and we're like, let's keep looking. So, but it's kind of a. But for the same reason, right? It was a good party atmosphere. It was a nice name. But I think with the reason that was so successful, and again, you were there before I was, and of course after I was there, but it just, we had our backs to the river. I mean, the city of Green Bay had its backs to the river. And I travel, you know, before I ran for mayor, and look at some other cities much smaller than us, 20,000, 22,000 people, and they embraced their waterfront, and we had dumpsters, and, you know, so I think people are like, I think anything would have worked, but that really, really worked.
Just recently, I was looking at pictures of what our waterfront looked like before the City Deck, and it was decrepit. It was sad, and no one cared. And when we started caring, that was the catalyst for progress.
Yeah, well, that's a good project. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here, come back. I'm going to take a couple of our sponsors, and then I want to get into the future, right? I mean, it's you've good governance, some good history, but we're going to talk about what's next, because as you've heard me say a million times, and I'm going to say it again before we go to break, the downtown is the heart of the city.
Absolutely.
And everything pulses from the heart.
Amen. Sounds great. Right.
Okay, we'll be right back. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, and we are talking the heart of Green Bay. We've got Jeff Murchison House, who is the executive director of Downtown Green Bay Incorporated. After the next segment, we're going to have Brian Johnson, and who is the executive director of On Broadway Incorporated. And those two organizations are the heartbeat of our city, and they're working hard. They've done a lot, but we're going to spend this next segment on what they're going to do, because there's a lot coming in 2026. Before I do, just two quick shout-outs to a couple of our sponsors that I like to do first person because I do business with both of them. I love both of them, and I've known them for years. One, of course, is Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, you know, PellaWI.com. They just do it right. I mean, you know, you put in good windows and good doors for a number of reasons. Probably foremost is to keep the heat inside and the air conditioning inside. What they offer in terms of style and quality is just second to none. My house is, you know, 110 years old. But, you know, there's houses that, you know, of course, were built in the 80s and some that were just built yesterday. And they have everything. And they come over to your house. It's an hour and it's a 90-minute consultation. It's free. They bring their laptop and they just show you different designs. And in my house, I would like different windows than probably somebody who built their house yesterday. This door, don't underrate a front door. I mean, people, it's true. That is kind of a statement on your house. And, you know, they have different things, different glass, different, but it's just everything. And they have great financing packages. So I just, you know, look, I think we all need to keep our houses up, and it's not the least expensive thing, but it's the right thing to do. I mean, you know, we could only, when we first did that, we could only afford to do, you know, 2-3 windows a year. Anyway.
John, you're talking me into it. I need to take a look at my front door when I get home.
Dude, they got the right colors, and you want to be styling in the neighborhood, man. You know, Jeff, you want people to know who you are? Well, now this is where I live. Hey, the other company that I know you and I both worked with because of all the time we spent together in City Hall is Nicolet Bank. They're a sponsor of our show. You want to park your money where you're, borrow your money where you have good rates, and they're very competitive, but it's so much more than that when you look at Nicolet Bank. I mean,
absolutely.
I'm sure you know
great
them,
organization.
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, just dine on the deck and what they do with the homeless shelter for us at New Community, and they allow their employees to get involved, serve on boards and commissions, and mm-hmm. You know, I to think, you know, it was what, 25 years ago they started that thing, and they're it's just unbelievable what they've done. The reason they've done it is because they have their core values, you know, to be real, be responsive, be personal, be memorable, and be entrepreneurial. And they hold true to that. And I've had Nicolet businesses on the show, and you know, a bank is good when you're making money. They love lending, but when you're having a tough year, and they really come in and help. They don't say, look, you know, if you don't turn the corner, we're going to call your loan. That's correct. Not Nicolet. Nicolet's like, how can we make this work? So anyway, those are our two sponsors, and we love them. And they signed up for another full year, so we're excited about that as well. So, Jeff, we left kind of talking about the governance, how it works, how you're funded, a lot of corporate donations. We talked about the past, and we can go through a lot of things of the past. And if you want to do that for a minute or two, that's fine. But I really want to move. So the City Deck, which was a catalyst, and of course, that did bring a lot of things. I got to believe the Northland Hotel would be one of your...
Absolutely. You betcha.
Just I hear good things about that often. So that's and there's just a lot of small things too, right?
There are a lot of things that have contributed to growth and momentum. And you know, it'd be difficult to rattle off all of them, but Certainly the Hotel Northland would be one of those entities.
And it's great. I mean, I just and I like to, you know, I'm so glad you didn't chase chains. You know, I know that there's nothing wrong with what TGI Fridays. I don't know if that's in business anymore, but you know, like, it's so nice that
we love local. Love local. Love the entrepreneurs, the local businesses, small businesses, and it's is buy local for us 365 days a year, yeah, when it's downtown.
Oh. And I think that's cool, and I oftentimes you go into these places and the owners there, you know, Chef Fusion's, right, and Angelina's, and place right next to Angelina's too that I rent.
Delilah's.
Delilah's.
Yeah. That place is great. Mangieri.
Yeah. My kids really like Delilah's. That's a cool place. But it's unique and it's different. And, you know, I love, you know, Julie's Cafe and everything else. But I think when you're downtown, you just want to look for that little special edge, and you brought that. And I'm glad you did that and didn't go after some of the chains, and you know, God bless the chains, but I like the entrepreneur. So, you know, I was looking in the paper, they talked about these 9 developments to watch in Green Bay this year, and a lot of them are under kind of under you. But I think what people probably know most. You can give us an update. Is that whole NOVA project?
NOVA Green Bay is, significant influx of residential. We're just totally impressed by what they are developing. That's 268 very nice residential units. They should start leasing mid-year, summer, awesome. Fall. And we love the location, and it's right in the heart of the downtown. And along with NOVA Green, and there's an opportunity there for a restaurant in that space. So we will be working with that developer to welcome and to help recruit a restaurant in that premier space.
Right. A few blocks away, U.S. Bank Building. Skyline 425.
Yeah, Skyline 425, 66 units. We're really impressed by that. That'll opening summer of 26. Outstanding
Monroe
patio.
And Pine. Yeah. Monroe and Pine gets...
Yeah, the old U.S. Bank Building.
Right.
That'll be market-rate apartments, a nice development.
All right. And quickly, Sheldon Schumacher.
Love that development. We've got a law firm. Everson Law Firm should be moving in there in a few months. That's another great development.
All right. Loving that one too. We're gonna run out of time here. Darn, this happens to me all
that's
the time.
That's right. And those are not all located downtown.
How about can you just rattle me off a couple events that we can look forward to?
Absolutely. Yes, I wanted to say that we learned a lot from the NFL draft, and we are going to bring back the Booyah Battle. That's going to come back draft weekend. We learned a lot about tapping into the history of our downtown. So we are going to have an event in the old Main Street District called Then and Now.
All right.
And that's going to focus on beer making. So people are going to love that
all
one.
Right. Booyah beer making. I think you're hitting it all. All right.
Art Fest Green Bay is huge.
Okay. This is great. Hey, I got to get you back here. I'm sorry. I'm out of time. I got Brian waiting.
Thanks for what
you're doing.
Thanks, Jim.
This is awesome.
Good spending time with
all
you
right,
today.
Great. All right. This is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We'll be right back.
From the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor, Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to Lean Local. And as I mentioned in the first half, we are leaning into as local as we can get. And that's what's going on in the downtown area of Green Bay. And those of you who knew me when I was in my previous job and you heard me say it a million times, I'm going to say it again, is that I always believed and still do to this day that the downtown is the heartbeat of our community. And like we learned in biology class, everything pulses from the heart. And healthy heart, healthy body. And so we need to keep investing and making sure that we are doing things right in the downtown. Because when you look at Greater Green Bay, and it's a wonderful community, the county is 260,000 people, but people can say they might have a downtown, but there is only one real downtown, and that's downtown Green Bay. It's historical, it's authentic, and it's got unique businesses, which I think is cool. I mean, a lot of corporate offices, but I'm just so glad we're not into the whole chain restaurant thing down here. I'm just so glad that the effort has been made by the executive directors and the city to recruit unique businesses to make our downtown a special place. So the first half, we did talk to Jeff Merkus, who's the executive director of Downtown Green Bay, which encompasses pretty much east side of the river business district. Of course, on the west side of the river is on Broadway. And we have with us in-house, and thanks for being here, is Brian Johnson, who is the executive director of On Broadway Incorporated. Is that the right title?
Good enough. So I'm not big on titles. To me, it's about what you're doing with your job. So right. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, it's great to be here. And you get a lot of press over there. And rightfully so. Look, that struggled years ago before you and I were on,
Right. But you have to have a good story to tell. And it's not just what we're doing as an organization. It's what all of our individual businesses are doing.
Right.
And, our job is to help amplify, that voice and that story. And so we're really proud of the things that have not only come into the district, but the businesses that have taken root and the good work that they're all doing.
So I talked to Jeff a little bit. I just want to spend a minute or two. We talked about governance. People, you guys work for the mayor. I know you don't because we work together. But you have a partnership with the city. but you're kind of independent. And can you just go over, and Jeff did briefly, as I'd like you to do too, kind of how's your funding? What's the corporate structure or governance structure, I should say, on Broadway?
Yeah, we're a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. So just like any other nonprofit, that's how we function. We have funding sources that come from a couple of different areas. One, of course, similar to Jeff, is the Business Improvement District.
Right.
6%, less than 6%, though, of our annual budget comes from that. And almost all of that funding goes towards tangible things like flowers and pole banners and, you know, taking care of weeds that might pop up in the district, seasonal decor.
I do want to make a point, yeah. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, Brian, but in Jeff's district, like 34% came from the bid.
Yeah.
From the taxes, but yours is only 6.
Yeah, it's very not comparative. And there's a couple of reasons for it. So bid rates are established on, there's like an infinite number of ways this can be established, right? But locally here, it's pretty much a certain mill rate per $1,000 of assessable value. Ours is less than half of the state average. But the other part is it's based on a lot of times the value of the buildings. Eastside obviously has much higher valuation. Big buildings, when you think about, you know, Schreiber, Associated Bank, we have a lot of smaller buildings. So that's really the difference.
Okay. All right. Well, so just do tell, where does the other 94% come from?
So we function a lot. I mean, we have to fundraise, of course, and event sponsorships, events, some of our events are revenue generators, others are loss leaders that help amplify our mission. But we do our best to function like a business, and you'll find that Main Street programs across the country, that's the best way for them to establish themselves. Other districts might get funding from their TID districts or their room tax, sales tax. Obviously, we don't have those resources, so we find a way to be as efficient as we can, and we really get supported by our local community, which is important. And it's a little different, right? We're not curing cancer or feeding folks that are hungry, right? So you don't have that same emotional appeal. And so you have to approach fundraising differently if you want to encourage people to support your mission.
Yeah. So how long have you been the director?
10 years in May.
Okay, 10 years. I was going to guess that. So were there moments where, and you know, you're a thinker, you're a planner. I mean, you've got a vision. That's why you're there, I think. But were there moments when you had to pivot or abandon a strategy?
All the time.
Really?
Gosh. I mean, COVID certainly would be, you know, one of the most vivid examples of that, because we go from an organization that does a lot of events and activities, then that was the thing that predominantly drove our revenue. And when that just went away, the ability for us to execute all of our other programs went away as well. So that would be, I guess, one of the most vivid examples. But there are other projects. When I first started, we were definitely very much a small organization that the farmers market, a couple of other events, and tried our best to support our business community. And now we're obviously taking on much more dynamic and complex and challenging projects. And we're able to do that because we've really surrounded ourselves with an exceptional group of board members and volunteers and supporters of our program.
And Jeff has a staff of 9. Are you comparable in that respect?
Yeah, I mean, it can fluctuate seasonally, with events, but we're a little smaller than that right now. The thing that will really change that for us is when the Green Bay Public Market opens up. Obviously, that'll have its own dedicated staff. We'll probably double the number of staff that we have right now.
I want to get to that a little bit later. Just a couple of things I want to ask you, like the biggest challenges that you see facing downtown right now, and take the liberty of going to the east side too. I mean, you live down here.
Yeah.
But what do you think are the biggest challenges that we're facing?
Yeah, look, great timing for this. So we were the recipient of a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. We were one of 6 organizations in the country that was selected to participate in this program. And it's unlocking capital through the National Main Street framework. And the idea is that how do you deploy capital locally rather than outside money always coming in and dictating to you what your downtown looks like, and investors obviously trying to make a buck. How do you make sure that you are unlocking local funding to do the things that are important? And for us, we've identified a couple of things. And one of those is infill development, right? How do you make a dynamic, exciting, fun, vibrant downtown? Parking lots don't do that. You need to get buildings. You need to get businesses in those buildings. But when you build a new building, developers with construction costs now have to charge $20 to $30 a square foot. this is the biggest drawback that Green Bay has had. When you think back to the Grigsby plan, right, when they tore down 107 old buildings, those are the spaces in other downtowns that businesses occupy for $10 a square foot, and they can be sustainable. When we're adding brand new spaces at $30 a square foot, it's not sustainable. So it's trying to figure out, how do you create spaces where small businesses, locally owned, can really thrive?
The Grigsby plan, I just want to say that that was outside money coming and telling us, and politicians love free money. Well, it's not free, right?
Right,
somebody's
right.
paying for it, but it's not your constituent money. Oh, it's free money, it's free money, it's free money. We buy it's crazy stuff we don't need. But that mall had a very, very short lifespan.
It did.
When you look at the sales per square foot, and mm-hmm. you know that stuff. I mean, you got to have right. X to make it work. And, you know, the people who are still complaining about that, you know, I don't want to say that was a mistake, but it just wasn't long term, man.
It was very successful when it was open, but to your point, it wasn't long term. And when you have the benefit of hindsight, was it worth tearing down 107 old buildings? Probably not, right? but you know, you shared a phrase that to me is a really important one. I talked a lot about price per square foot when you're leasing space, but it really should be about sales per square foot, right?
Yeah.
Because then there's no cap on
right.
what's affordable if you're making money. And so for us, it's about creating a downtown that has enough walkability, enough customers that are spending money to support the businesses we have here, and then ultimately elevate that price per square foot.
So we look at bid, and there's a lot of bid districts in the country. Mm-hmm. There's a lot right here in Wisconsin too. But what are the big issues? Is housing, is that something that is a, mm-hmm. what are your priorities? I mean, events you've mentioned a number of times, and I love events. I think events bring people, they bring energy. And it's like, hey, I think I'd like to live here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I really believe in events. And that's why Jeff and I were talking. I think the City Deck was good for downtown. I think people came mm-hmm. down and maybe you're living in a suburb or something and said, you know, hey, this isn't bad down here. And, you know, hopefully, mm-hmm. well, we had to build housing for them. But like, if you had to look at on Broadway, which again, I think you get a lot of attention. I really do. I think you're in the news a lot. And, but what would be the top three things you're working on?
Infill development.
So infill development is like, if there's a lot between two buildings, you're going to infill that with something. And is that going to be the retail? Is that what you're talking about? The small space retail?
I mean, it depends on the place, right? So if you're on Broadway, for example, you wouldn't want retail activation on the first floor. Try to get some residential or commercial on the second or third floor.
Right.
When you have larger vacant lots, you typically we'll look for some larger housing development. You know, we do kind of these corridor plans, which are really meant to be suggestive of the type of development and the scale of that development, right? So if you have a vacant lot between two-story buildings, you're not going to put a 10-story building there, right? So it's about making sure that you're getting the right density, the right scale. So infill development is a huge priority for us. More residential density is critically important, because when people are downtown, they support your businesses. They, you know, add a level of vibrancy and you know, sense of community within your area. So that is critically important. And I think urban design, I would say, is really important for us. I think a lot of times people look at business improvement districts and they know us for the events that we do.
Right.
But it is only a piece of what we do. Beautification is incredibly important to downtowns. So when you think about public art initiatives, historic preservation, having just good like aesthetics and design and making a space that people want to spend time in, that is what's really important too.
So one of the challenges I have with on Broadway, and I work there, right? I mean, I work mm-hmm. at the New Community Homeless Shelters, which is on Broadway and Mather. There is a lot of truck traffic on Broadway. And I know, look, that was addressed when I was in office.
Yep.
And but just more complaint. There was never a solution. I mean, people complained, and you get sick of complaints without solutions, right?
Right.
But is there something we can look forward to? Because I do think, Brian, I'm serious, I think that's a detriment. Because Winston-Salem, you take any downtown, you don't have trucks going by every fifth vehicle.
Yeah, wholeheartedly agree. And in fact, it is one of the things that the city addressed in its comp plan. It's something that is part of our strategic plan, is that we really want to see an alternative there. Part of that is a designated state highway. And so that's just a little bit of the challenge that you have to work through. I think that there are some folks at the table now that are willing to have that conversation.
Good.
We just have to find the right solution, the right path forward.
Yeah. And I don't know, maybe you have to incent them a little bit to go another way. You know, I don't know. It's all about money. It's about time. And I get all that stuff. Like, I was in manufacturing, but man, you got to look at the bigger picture.
Well, and trucks take the shortest route, right?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Right now, they're directed to go there, but there are probably other paths they could take.
There are. And I think it's just going to take some strong leadership to get them on board. But I do think they're willing to do that. I'd like to think they would, because who doesn't want a healthy downtown?
Yeah. Right? Agreed.
I mean, so, all right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We start talking about the future. I'm going to definitely want to talk about the public market, but I know you have other things you're working on too that I want you to share with our listeners. You're listening to Lean Local, Jim Schmidt. We'll be right back with Brian Johnson, in-house guest. I'm a walking dreamer, baby. If I stopped, it would make the show. Can't keep up with my rhythm, though. They keep trying, too quick for the lines they throw. I walk to the sound of my own drum. It goes, they go, we go. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, here we go. Feel it in my soul. Really need it, need it so good. Gotta feed it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Everyone, you're listening to Lean Local, where we talk about what's going on local here in Greater Green Bay. And two great guests today. We had our first half hour, Jeff Merkus, the executive director of Downtown Green Bay Incorporated, talking about what we can look forward to on pretty much the east side of Green Bay, the downtown area. And in-house with us right now is Brian Johnson, who's the executive director of On Broadway, which is, of course, kind of the west side of the downtown of Green Bay. And before we went to break, we were just talking about everything that's going on there, and housing, infill lots, the priorities for events. And but you had a company that was there for 111 years, who I know quite well, that moved. It was Green Bay Drop Forge. Mm-hmm. Not sure they fit in the downtown, quite honestly, and I've had my discussions with them. And a little loud, a little, I don't know.
It's industrial.
Very industrial. And I don't know how you pulled that off, but they have moved out to on Finger Road, kind of the east side of Green. And they're very happy there too. Man,
beautiful plant.
It is.
Yeah.
Then
state of the art.
And I'm so glad that happened. But so do you have plans? Is that something you're looking at now, or is that not a high priority? Or?
Yeah, I would say, you know, that becomes more of a, obviously a city pursuit. And I remember when the owner there, Bill, reached out to me, gosh, seven years ago, perhaps. Yeah. And he told me he wanted, you know, they were considering an expansion. And right, that's just how long this stuff takes when you're making these kind of investments. And and they were inquiring about TIF incentive. And of course, my role as alder, I said, well, you know, TIF is really meant to help make projects happen the way that the city wants them to happen. And I don't think I'd really support an expansion here. I'd rather see you move to an industrial park and get you out of the waterfront property that you don't use, and out of this emerging, you know, commercial and residential area. And I sat on it for a few years, as is normally the case. And finally, we struck up the conversation again and started talking about the industrial park, and the rest is history. So what's really cool about that, though, is, you know, they were able to consolidate locations from elsewhere. So it actually created more jobs here, state-of-the-art facility, retains them here indefinitely, a nice family-owned company. But then as part of the deal, the city requested that we have the right of first refusal to purchase their waterfront property.
Right.
So we don't have we didn't have a specific intent for it. Okay. Waterfront property is scarce. One of the things that we've been working on is a waterfront development plan to ensure that we are better utilizing our waterfront. And that's kind of why we made the move.
And I think that needs to, if not remain, needs to be the top priority. You have a lot of opportunity on the waterfront, right? You got that, you got Light Park, we got WPS, we got Georgia Pacific. There's just some cool.
Yeah, and don't forget the Sea Rice site.
Well, of course, right? The coal piles too. Yeah. You know, and there's got to be synergy there too. You know, you don't want to hodgepodge like some of these other places.
Well, and that's what we're trying to avoid, because the reality is most development does require TIF incentive. And if we're going to provide that, the city needs to get something out of that. And part of that is development that aligns with what our long-term vision is for the waterfront.
Right. Yeah, tax base. when you look at the waterfront development, I always loved that about this city is that there's other places, Ashwaubenon, that just don't, I mean, it's not, we have such an opportunity on our waterfront. It's right. Just, it's very unique. And it's very, we're very blessed to have that. I don't think sometimes people realize that. It's like, well, it's a river. You know what? Mm-hmm. And I think we're doing a good job. And I think there's a lot more that can be done. I have to bring this up because I'm concerned about Light Park. I think there's a lot of effort made to get that park, to get the ballads. There's a lot of work done in that when I was there. You've done mm-hmm. a lot of work on that too. And now we have just a contractor that I've respected for years, my whole career, Myron, that is suing the city over Light Park. Can you share anything with us that we don't know? I read the paper, but that's...
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's going to be in litigation, and so there's not a ton I can share there, but okay. I mean, what was shared publicly is it was more about questions around whether or not the company that had the winning bid, if their proposal was to follow the engineer drawings. Myron was saying that the engineer drawings would not provide the stability that the project needs, but that's not what other experts say. So there's a difference of opinion, and you know, this happens from time to time. It's not what we like, but I think, you know, you're still going to get the product there. It's just going to be who's building it.
Okay. And that's my question. So this isn't going to be tied up for 3 years. It's not one of those deals. It's going to bring us to resolution and get that. Because that tell the listeners what you're building now. I mean, it's not that big of a project. It's $5 million, but still it's $5 million.
Yeah. And it'll actually be a little bit more than that. But the reason it can be more is because we're bringing, meaning on Broadway, is doing a public-private partnership with the city. And we're raising $4 to $5 million to complement what the city investment is there so we can get a better product and really activate that waterfront. The city is building... You know, the funding source that they had for this had to be earmarked and spent within this. It's excess TID funds, right?
Okay, right.
And it has to be spent according to the plan. And so there are different things that we did with it. We shored up the dock walls that were there, which allowed the cruise ships and other boats to come in. We made some other infrastructure improvements, but then the balance is being used for a pavilion with an event space, and we're going to raise the money really for a stage and some other site improvements.
The Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah, it's a beautiful design.
I know, I saw that. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait for that. Hey, they just don't give me enough time on this show. Public market.
Yeah.
Tell me, you're in charge. Tell me what's going on there.
Yeah, we're actually going to the Redevelopment Authority next week. Just request an amendment to the development agreement, which is really updating the dates for the project. Like many, many other capital campaign projects out there, they started with architectural estimates on how much a project was going to cost. Hard bids come back and they're more. And you can't just proceed. In the private sector, you can. You write a bigger check for your equity. And when you're a nonprofit, you have to raise the difference.
Yeah.
And so we are very close and we've got the right path forward. So we're just establishing a new timeline and we're hoping to be under construction here, I would say by probably second quarter next year.
All right.
This year, I mean. Sorry.
And it's going to happen.
Well, yeah. Like I said, we're very close.
All right, cool. All right. Hey, thanks for coming in. We're out of time. Sorry about that.
That happens.
Get you back next time. But just thanks for what you're doing, right? Like I said, you know, the downtown, that's what's making us work. Yeah. And thank you for all your energy and effort into that. All right. You've been listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We appreciate you tuning in for this. Next week, we are going to lean even a little more local, and we're going to get into some of the politicians that have announced that they're running for office, and we'll get their read on what they think about the future of Greater Green Bay. Again, thanks for listening. Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We'll see you next week.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.